On Sunday afternoons, we've been taking a look at the subject of how not to cultivate rebellion in our children. And First off, in these messages, again, I don't come to you as one that has it all figured out and telling you to follow me. But we need to hear our Lord and what He has to say to us, and it's appropriate to all of us that we all need this, every single one of us. We have a great blessing here in our church of the young people that the Lord has blessed us with. And in that blessing, we have a great responsibility too. And all of us are being a witness to them. Some of us are parents, and some of us are grandparents. Some of us are aunts and uncles. Some of us are members of the church that look on at the children, and you correct them, and you lead them, and you look to help them. Some are involved in the different ministries of the church and have contact with our children in that. We are all the children of our Lord. And so these messages, in some shape or some form, they're applicable unto all of us, and we all need to hear. Don't think that, I don't have any direct responsibility over children, so this isn't for me. I tell you what, you can learn about being a child yourself, a child of the King. And so this was the title that the Lord gave me, How Not to Cultivate Rebellion in Our Children. I'm not desirous to have such a negative type of title, but I believe that the Lord has led me in that we might be shook up to the reality of these things as they are, and where it is that we, each of us individually, need to wake up to changes that we need to make, or failure that we need to repent of, or things that we need to turn in, or whatever, that the Lord would help us to see with a very sober outlook the seriousness of this. The next generation is raised by this generation, reared and taught by this generation, and they are and will be a mirror of us. True? That's the truth, isn't it? And so may the Lord help us, and that we hear from our Lord, and we grow and be helped in these things, be reaffirmed in these things, whatever the case may be. Our Lord directed Israel that they need to put away evil from the nation, and the rebellion of children is a very, very serious thing. They did that. The Lord gave them that as a young nation, that they might be very serious about the rearing of their children, the training of their children. Our goal is that our children give us their hearts, and that we, for that short time that we have, stand there as the authority figure in their lives, that they might learn how to stand before the authority figure of their souls, and that is our Lord God. It says there in Proverbs 23:26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." And so in that we have indeed an understanding that they're watching what we do, and what we need to do needs to be good and right before them, and may our Lord help us. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's not laying there loose, rattling around, but it's bound in there with cords and bands, and it's got to be dealt with. And the Lord tells us it's the rod of correction it's only the rod of correction that'll drive that far from them. Sad case for a child to come to adulthood and still have bound within them that foolishness of a child. It can lead indeed to a fool's death. We took a look about how the Lord dealt with King Saul, and what He said unto him is that obedience to the voice and hearkening to the words of the voice, to obey, to hear, to hearken, is the best of all unto the Lord. That's the design. It's always been the design from the beginning, is that the Lord would speak, and you and I, the children of Adam, would listen and hear and obey what the Lord says. It's always been the design. We took a look about Brother David and the sad occasion in his life, his rebellion and disobedience, and the testimony there about him and Brother Solomon, how that it can be that our children will do worse than us. And may we never have an attitude in our lives that we say to ourselves, well, The Lord will forgive me for this. It may be that very thing that you and I say, well, I'll just presume upon the graciousness and the forgiveness of the Lord that our child would take a hold of and run with. And so look out, parents. Our children will do worse than us. May the Lord help us in that, and may we learn from that. Tonight, or this afternoon, what we want to look at is this of the honoring of parents. The honoring of parents. In Exodus chapter 20, and I trust you're familiar with it, there on the Mount Sinai, the Lord gave unto Israel the Ten Commandments. And that first commandment that has to do with our treatment of one another is this. It has to deal with the home. It has to deal with that institution that the Lord formed first, the family. And the commandment comes from God in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor them. Honor them. Rolled up into honor is to listen to them and to obey them, to submit to their authority. To honor them is to hear them as they would have words of wisdom and words of truth. If we're blessed to have parents that are saved and that look to the Word of God for their instruction and for their guidance of themselves and for us, indeed, we're to honor them and to hear what the Lord says. As it was with Brother David, Brother Solomon, he forsook the best friend that Brother David had. And has. And you know what? We need to show our children that the Lord is our best friend. Our Savior, our Lord and our Redeemer is our best friend. And may we live that in our lives. Honor thy father and thy mother. It means to, as they get older, in any way that we can help them and care for them and sustain them. The Lord made that very clear in the day of his ministry, that the Word of God, if you will, was over there rolled up in those scrolls over there in the temple or in the synagogue and that. And this command was here in the days that Korban had been initiated. And those children were let off the hook by the religious leadership of the day and the development of their own traditions. And they said, it's Korban. I'm dedicating it to the temple, Mom and Dad. You all are just going to have to make do yourselves. And the Lord said, by your tradition, you make the Word of God of none effect. You hear that? Hear those words? The Word of God is over there. It's been given by the Lord at that time of the Lord Jesus. It's been given to them hundreds of years before. Maybe even 1,000 years before. And it laid over there and they weren't obeying it. They had some other thing to chase. Some other thing to follow. And it was there standing against them as a witness and a testimony. They weren't honoring their parents and what they could do for them, even as grown children and adults in their parents at an elderly state. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Brother Moses, in verse number 16, he reiterates this again to the children of Israel as he preaches to that second generation that's going into the land. In Deuteronomy 5:16, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Honor is required by God. Hear that? God's speaking. And you know what? It doesn't matter. This isn't just something that is just for the saved or the Lord's people. This is what the Lord expects from mankind. Honor your father and your mother. Well, Brother Jim, and it's the case with some folks, my folks or some of my folks were scoundrels. Okay. I understand. I hear what you're saying. Any wickedness and disobedience that parents would encourage children to go into should be avoided and should not be followed. They're not to be honored carte blanche in everything that they believe and everything that they pursue, especially if it's a wicked way. The Lord understands that. But then that which is good and their state and their station is our parents. We're to do everything for them and honor them in every way that we can, but we're not to follow after their wickedness and disobedience. The Lord's commanded this. Brother Moses reiterates, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We hear of some people that live to a very old age, and because of these passages, I can't help but think. I heard about a woman that died here in the world somewhere on the, in the world, not in our country, I don't believe. I think she died at 117 years old. And I can't help but think, wow, she must have really been obedient to her parents. She must have really honored her folks. Only the Lord knows, and only the Lord knows those details in that. But that's a promise He gave to Israel. It is part of the moral law that goes out to mankind. It's a shame for a child not to honor the folks, maybe cutting their life short, huh? In Matthew chapter 15, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to turn over here to this in Matthew 15. Coming down here to the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see here that the scribes and the Pharisees, it says in verse 1, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to Jesus saying, why did the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders and they don't wash their hands when they eat bread? So they're challenging them about this, all this washing ordinance that they have. And you know what? It's good to wash your hands. To keep you from getting pink eye. That's the latest threat that we have. Keep you from getting strep. Keep you from getting stuff. It's good to wash your hands. Doesn't make you acceptable before God. That's what the Lord's taking issue with. But He answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. So the Lord tells again here, what God Almighty had commanded there on Sinai to the children of Israel and to mankind. And you know what? You know what Jesus does? He stands by it. He doesn't say that it's off the books now. Don't sweat that anymore. But He says, that's what God commanded. That's the way it should be. We read this morning where our Lord Jesus honored His mother, didn't He? Isn't that something? Being there on the cross of Calvary, woman, behold thy son, as the Lord points to Brother John, John the Apostle. And He said to him, behold your mother. He honored, he on His cross, as He's there giving His life and paying for our sins, He honored His mother. He took care of her. He's the oldest. And it was on Him to do that. In Matthew chapter 19, it's mentioned again in this gospel. The Lord has another occasion here. This man, the rich young ruler, as we refer to him, comes to the Lord and he wants a guarantee that he has eternal life. The Lord deals with him. The Lord Jesus poses to him different of the commandments. And right there in verse number 19, He tells this rich young ruler, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He tells him, that's what you should do. And the man makes a declaration, I've done this from my youth up. What lack I yet? And of course, he lacked the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? The Lord dealt with him regarding such. We see in Mark chapter 7 about this of the tradition, And the Lord reiterating here about this, whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. You know, children are not to curse their parents. It was given in Israel for the children not to curse their parents. We've seen in our day the terribleness of children turned against parents, even to the murdering of them. It's a terrible, sad affair, isn't it? Cursing of parents. Hating of parents. The Lord says they're to be honored. They're to be honored. And that's the Lord's design, again, in this first institution. You know, marriage and the family is that first institution created by the Lord. Back there in the garden, before sin, in the garden, the family was ordained by God. That's the reason that the family has been always attacked by Satan. If he could break down the family, oh, he's got a stronghold. He's got a grip upon mankind by the breaking down of the family. And many of us know about so many cases. Maybe you have them in your families. We all at one point or the other do, about broken homes. And this brings heartache, doesn't it? Piles and piles of heartache upon children. And it's just, it's sad. The Lord knows that the family is to be there together. We take a look over here in Exodus chapter 21, and where this the Lord refers to this of cursing father or mother, let him die the death. It was interesting as we study this and consider it. There's another point to be brought out here in Exodus chapter 21 that's relative to this of cursing father or mother. In Exodus chapter 21, we pick it up in verse number 15. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So we see here, as the Lord is giving this to Brother Moses to give to the children of Israel, and the law and that of morality that he's given to them. He's given them the instruction and the directive that they're to operate under as they go forward into a land in the land of Canaan where they've been disobeying the Lord morally for centuries. They've been guilty of this. And I noticed that here in verse number 15, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You know, we wrestle around and tussle around with our children. And that's just part of them growing up and everything. Some wrestle more than others, or maybe shadow boxing or something like that and roughing around. But I tell you what, we need to watch out about the hitting of parents. We need to watch out about where we draw those lines about a child slapping at or striking at or punching a parent. When they're little and we can control them and all that may be well and good, all of us have seen children just go out all out wail on their parents and all fists and knees and feet and all that. And that doesn't need to be allowed. Because the thing we always need to ask ourselves as parents is what they're doing here at 2 and 3 and 5 years old, how's that going to look at 16, 17, 18, and 20? And as children gain physical size and gain physical strength, if they've not been taught to honor their parents, you know what's going to happen? They're going to be greatly tempted to lay hands on their parents. And the Lord says it ought not to be. And he told Israel, just like the rebellious child, they're to be put to death. That was his answer for it. So watch out, parents. Watch out, grandparents. Watch out the authority in children's lives about how you allow and where you put the line. Does a child's displeasure bring out the willingness for them to hit the parent? Look out. You know what really gets ugly? Is when you have a child hit a mother. The father may be strong enough to defend, might be strong enough to whip the child until he's well up into years. But I tell you what, the child slapping at or striking at a mother, I tell you what, don't lay the groundwork for them to be tempted to do that. Don't lay the groundwork for that. If children are allowed to strike out and hit because they haven't got a thing their way, or because they've been maybe even embarrassed by a parent or whatever, and we need to be careful with our children and their feelings and how we tease them and such as that. But don't set the groundwork for children to be hitting on parents. The Lord says we're to have no part of it. Be careful. Be careful. Because the thing is, a lot of things that we might allow when they're younger, when they get older, it gets real ugly. Ugly indeed. Goes away from being cute to getting ugly. In Ephesians chapter 6, here to the church at Ephesus, a Gentile church there on the western coast of Asia Minor, we see this as the apostle writes to them. And you know, this is getting closer to home to you and me because of the writing to the Gentiles and that we, as far as we know, are Gentile. We don't know if we have any Jewish descendancy. I don't know if I do in my family or not. And so this really should ring a bell with us. And listen, children, the apostle's writing to you. He's writing to you, children. This is the word of the Lord, because remember, Peter tells us that all Scripture is inspired of God. So this is God Almighty speaking to all of us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We have that qualifier there in the Lord. It brings out that point that I mentioned earlier about a parent that would want a child to go a wicked way and an evil way, and that, of course, they're not to be obeyed in those things. But the good things and the right things of life that all come from the Lord, the things that are there that are true and right in the living of life and being a good citizen and being a child honoring to their parents and obedient to the Lord in every way, the Lord says obey. He doesn't say talk back. He doesn't say mouth or slander or grumble or murmur about a parent. He says obey. Because you know what, children, are you listening? Ultimately, you're going to have to answer to your Lord that has given you your soul. And whether it's your daddy or whether it's your mama, you obey your parents in everything they give you that is right. I'm not talking about what you disagree with, but that which is right and just and pure from the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing. Honor thy father and thy mother. He brings that commandment that's given there to Israel indeed. And you know what? Right here, it's confirmed. It brings that right over here into this New Testament age, even to us that are Gentiles. We who are Gentiles. Honor your father and your mother. Do everything that you can. Obey them. Help them. Respect them. Honor them. You know what? It can be that children and parents, when they get older, might disagree on different subjects or different aspects of life or different things. I'm not talking about being anything that would be rebellious or disobedient to the Lord, but you just might have a different outlook or a different pursuit. A child is able to disagree with their parent, but don't ridicule the parent. Don't run the parent down. Don't chide them or be sharp to them in something that just doesn't matter. It's a thing of preference maybe or whatever. Disagree to disagree. Honor them. Honor them. And be respectful in everything. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's that promise? Young people, do you remember what it was? A long life. Yeah, it's brought over here to us Gentiles too. So it's not a stretch that we see that is the moral law, and it's not only given to Israel, but it's given to mankind, and it is a promise that is even extended to the Gentiles. It's a first commandment with promise. Obey and honor your parents, and a long life is generally promised by our Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother, and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Not the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, but on the earth, wherever you find yourself. You mean the Lord is really keeping track of that? I tell you what, He sure is. So not all of you were in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Brother Stephen has been delving into the book of Job, but we're at those chapters there towards the end where the Lord is speaking to Job and speaking to us. And the Lord has done all that He's done in His creation and all the physical things of the earth, all the animal life of the earth, and even into the hearts and souls of men, women, boys, and girls on the earth. You think the Lord's keeping track? He sure is. He's keeping track. And He knows. He knows when we dishonor our folks. Young people, are you listening? He knows when we dishonor our folks in our hearts. And may we honor them. And may we be thankful for them indeed. The honoring of parents, however, must be taught to children. You realize that? It's got to be taught. It's not something that just a charge will do. But as parents, grandparents, those that are in authority over young people, honoring of the authority, honoring of parents must be taught. You got to take their feet and you got to hold them to it. They got to be taught about honor. It's akin to what the older ladies in the church are to do with the younger ladies, to teach them to love their children and to love their husbands, to be keepers at home. Those things need to be taught by the older women to the younger. And it's that way, same way. The honoring of parents must be taught to children. And you know what? It starts at a very young age. At a very young age. There's a submission to the authority that is taught. There's a submission to the parents that have been given to the child. There's a teaching of that in love and in a right way. And you know what? There'll be a blessing in it. A blessing indeed. In Proverbs chapter 1, we see related to this something that goes right in here with it. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Here, as Brother Solomon writes to his children, he says, "Listen to what I have to say, my instruction, and listen and obey. Don't forsake the law of your mother." There is an instruction and a law of a father and a mother. You know, and what father and mother say that is good and right and according to the Lord. Young children, are you listening? Young people? What mom and daddy say goes. The end. That's just it. It's not a democracy. There's not a forum for debate. What mom and daddy say, that goes. And mom and daddy need to sometimes explain things and lay things out and define things, but sometimes mom and daddy don't have to explain anything. What they decide is the way that it needs to be. He said, you know what will happen in that teaching of the parents of the child? That obedience and that honoring and that submission to the authority in our lives, it'll be an ornament of graciousness upon the head. You know what? The honor that's been shown to parents will be also shown to others too. Where you hear a young person just automatically say, "Yes, sir, yes, ma'am." They are always very aware of others that are around them and the respect that they need to convey to them. Those things are taught. And those things should be. And that instruction of a father and a mother, that law and that instruction should be there in what they say. In chapter 6 of this same book, Proverbs chapter 6, we pick it up here in verse number 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck." That's not talking about physically. Some of the Jews have got into that kind of thing with the scripture where they actually tie them on their head and bind them about their arms. And they're not talking about that in the literal sense. It will literally have an effect upon the person, but the instruction, the directive, the teaching about how to be a good citizen, about how to be a good family member, to take our place. He said, take that instruction and bring it to yourself. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Especially parents that are dedicated to the way and the word of the Lord. Listen, for the commandment, a good commandment is a lamp. It shows you and lights the way. And the law is light. It lightens things up and makes it to where it can be seen in a dark land. And reproofs of instruction, that's speaking about correction. Our tendency and our leaning would be to go to one way and we're corrected that we might go another way. Are the way of life. Verse 24, to keep thee from evil people. Because the world is full of evil people and evil ways and wickedness that's out there. And so the honoring of father and mother and the abiding by their instruction and their law. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, where's our instruction and our law going to come from? These come from what God says. And you know what? We'll teach our children in a right good way. Proverbs 28:7, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men lawbreakers shameth his father. And you know what? The children of the Lord do the same thing. We pursue a riotous life and disobedient to our Lord, we shame indeed our Heavenly Father. This law, these words that go forth from the father and the mother, this instruction that goes forth from the two, brothers and sisters, hear me. It must be followed through. It must be followed through. If you and I, as parents, as grandparents, as the authority in a child's life, we must speak and we must uphold what we have said. Because you know what? There's a thing that we want to talk about here in messages to come. If we speak, but we don't follow through, we are indeed cultivating rebellion. We're getting them used to hearing what we say, but we don't hold them to what we say. I want you to think about something. Is there anything that the Lord ever told the children of Israel that he didn't back up? He didn't let a bit of it fall, did he? The Lord never spoke into the air and then let it pass with his children. You know what? We're challenged. And we've got this old flesh, and we've got this old man, a parent that's honest and understands what's going on and say, I got enough trouble with myself, much less trying to lead and direct these children in the right way. That's just the honest, but we've got it. And what we say, like our Lord, we must back up. Because if I tell my child, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do this, and I've uttered the word, but then I don't follow up, and they go on and they do it. You know what they're used to doing? They get used to doing? They get used to hearing dad say something, for example, but they know that dad's never going to back it up. What have we done? We've made it that the Lord's talking, but like daddy, the Lord probably won't back it up. The thing is, that's not true, is it? It's not true. The law and instruction of a parent, of parents must be followed through with. And Lord willing, we'll look at that in the future. Because see, talk in and of itself is cheap. Talk is cheap. Proverbs 14:23, and all labor there is profit, but in the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. We can talk about a lot of great things, a lot of great plans, have got a lot of great efforts, and talk, but you know what? Talking is never doing. And so in that law, in that instruction of parents going forth to our children, we must always back it up. If we're going to say it, then it always needs to be backed up with our children. That's what our Lord does. That's what our Lord requires. This brings to another point that we just want to touch on here quickly in regards to this. You notice in these passages how we've taken a look, how the Lord says about honor, how the Lord says about respect and obedience, how the Lord deals with the instruction and the law of parents. You realize something there, brothers and sisters? Over and over we hear this, thy father and thy mother, thy father and thy mother. Because you know why the Lord says thy father and thy mother? Because in the Lord's eyes, they're one. One. Father and mother are to be one. They're one flesh. The Lord Jesus, he confirms it and he adds something to it in Matthew 19:6. Wherefore they, the two that are married in holy matrimony, wherefore they are no more twain, two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, Jesus adds, let not man put asunder. Mom and dad. Confederacy with mom and dad. It's not two individuals. Yeah, I know physically you're two people. We're two people, mom and dad. But I tell you what, in every other way, we need to be one. Confederacy. We don't want to cultivate rebellion in our children. And therefore, we must be confederate in our parental pursuits. There must be absolute confederacy between the father and the mother. I want you to listen to a few things here that I've got. In this statement, what the Lord says, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. not even little men and little women. You hear what I'm saying? Little men and little women will look to get in there and break that confederacy, break that union up. There should never be correction of a parent or a spouse in front of children. You break things down. Now, we make mistakes as parents and as individuals. We do. But parents need to be confederate. And there never needs to be a correction by parents, one of another, in front of the children. The negating of a parent or a spouse in front of anyone, especially children, will always bring a negative end. The discounting or the talking bad or down about a parent or a spouse in front of children or anyone is never good. Never good. And I'm talking about here this husband and this wife. They should not be correcting one another or as they're dealing with the children. If you got a disagreement, get it settled, you and the parent, away from the children, and come out from that meeting confederate in what's going to be done. Because, see, the law and the instruction of the parents needs to be abided by the children. And we don't need to plant a seed in the children's minds that this parent you must listen to, but this parent is second rate and should not be listened to. Confederacy. Confederacy is key and essential. No correction of parents amongst one another in front of the children. Never the negating or the lessening of another parent in front of anyone, especially your own children, or the discounting or talking bad about the other parent in front of the children or anyone. A parent is never to be made as one of the children. You and I, by our actions and our discussion, our conversation, if we take a child, a parent, the other parent, and put them on the level of the children, we've submarined them in meeting their parental duties and responsibilities. We've submarined them. Children are natural-born players of both ends against the middle. And they will use these positions of the parents and attitudes of the parents against the other. True or fiction? It's just the way it is. You know why I know that? Because my children are related to me. I know that because I was a child once too. It's just the way that it is. Parents must be confederate. There should always be an absolute confederacy between the father and the mother. That's the way the Lord looks at it, father and mother, father and mother, father and mother. They're one. And listen to this. Fathers, the position of the father should always be, if you disobey or dishonor your mother in any way, you're disobeying me. They need to know that. You treat your mother bad, it's the same thing as you treating me bad. You disobeying your mother, you're disobeying me. Total and complete confederacy. If you want to have peace in your home, this is one aspect of it that you and I can just knock out and let them know that we're together. Because see, brothers and sisters, here's the way it is. In the design of the Lord to get married, they have a honeymoon and marital bliss and happiness and everything. They enjoy that relationship that they have in marriage, that friendship and that kinship in marriage. And there they are. They're the beginning of that family. And then in time, and then just the design of the Lord, the normal course of life, typically, children come along. And then for 20 years, you can't even hardly remember how it was at the beginning. But that's okay. That's okay. That's the way the design is. And sometimes young parents are thinking they're drowning and they're never going to make it. But hang in there. You will make it. Because you know what happens? The design is that the children fly. You know what you got left? You've got husband and wife left. They're your husband and your wife. They're your spouses. You're not one another's parents. Clarissa's not my mama. She's my wife. And I'm always careful to refer to her with the children as their mother or their grandmother. She's not my mother. She's my wife. And you know what? After our children fly, she's my wife. The marriage starts the family, And the family continues on in the marriage. It's not all about the children. The children are a big part and a blessing. But so many times you and I hear of couples that all their children fly and they look around at each other and they don't even know each other. Marriage has got to be cultivated all along the way. And so when the children do fly, you still do have a relationship and you're confederate still. And I don't want to seem this to be, seem adversarial between the parents and the children, but it's things that work in our day and the breaking down of the family. The position of the father should always be, if the mother is dishonored, the father is dishonored too, and vice versa. The mother should have the same thing. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Need to be supportive. Need to be confederate. Need to be gathered together in everything regarding these children, that we might teach them the right way and what's truth, and not cultivate rebellion in them by the breakdown of things in our family and our home. As I mentioned earlier, older children, if it's not curtailed early in their lives, can be tempted by their physical size to disobey and not respect their mothers. Mothers need to be always respected. And may the Lord help us in these things. Honoring of parents. Lord willing, next time we're going to talk about this, what the Lord expects about voice control. It's what he expected with Saul, king of Israel. He expected voice control. God said, go destroy the Amalekites. It's not like get a hold of Saul and shake him, rough him up. Okay, son, go kill the Amalekites. But he spoke to him. That's what God expected. That's what we need to have too as parents. Voice control. I want to give you something. Our Lord operates from this standpoint of the design is he speaks and we hearken, which means we hear it and we obey it. That's the design. You know, parents that don't have voice control over their children can end up in a situation where their child will be extended to harm, and because they don't have voice control, that child will go on into harm. Because they haven't been trained, they haven't been taught to respond to that voice. And so we need to use our voice and our words with purpose. And we need to back it up that we might be a help. And if you understand what I'm saying, of salvation and a deliverance to our children indeed. And so may the Lord help us and bless us with these things and hear what our Lord has to say unto us.